listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome in week 11 of your National Football League. It's Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside the All-American LeVar Arrington. Good to have him back. We missed you last week. Didn't sing to me.
Oh, man. Come on, Bucks.
I got to call it what it is. We had a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, a lot of analysis, but there was less singing. So we got to get that quota back up today. It's what people
come to expect.
Let's work on it. Yeah, I mean, the
what's up, Mikey?
I'm good, man. It's, you know, my Wildcats won again, buddy. So, I'm feeling good.
Hey, man, I said it, right? Best coach team, maybe one of the best coach teams in all of college football, but definitely in the Big Ten.
Well, we know continuity. You know, Vince and I were talking about this a little bit before. You know, he's the king of Chicago. You're recruiting, the administration's behind you. They built that facility on the lake. For anybody that hasn't seen it, I will tweet out glorious 360 images of that later on because that is a facility, LeVar. I mean, you know, the commitment that they've made behind his leadership. And so I just want to put this out here right now. All right, for everybody, and Michigan came back and beat Rutgers in a thriller. But a bunch of folks immediately started going, when they fire Harbaugh, are they going to hire Fitzgerald? Like, which is the better program right now? Where would you rather be right now?
I could never see Fitzgerald jumping ship from his alma mater that he has built up into a perennial contender and on the verge of being a top team in the Big Ten on a consistent basis to go to another Big Ten team?
Right.
Nah.
You want to tell me, hey, the Bears come calling, Chicago boy, and maybe wants to scratch that NFL itch? I'll hear
NFL
it. Beyond
may
that,
be
no chance.
Yeah, NFL may be a little different, but to leave for another Big Ten school or to leave for another school at all. I know if I ever got the opportunity or wanted the opportunity and I was able to become a head coach at Penn State and I was having the type of success that Pat Fitzgerald is having, there's not a team in the world, not NFL, not NCAA, not even my high school team. I ain't leaving Penn State. I ain't leaving.
And with that, since you're not here in the studio with me, I offer you a virtual hug for yesterday's effort, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, we are the total antithesis of what Pat Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats are right now. You know, I got on a call with the guys last night, and they are still in good spirits. It doesn't seem as though they're losing because of a lack of them wanting to win, a lack of effort. So it's just a very perplexing situation to try to understand why Penn State is making history and on the wrong side of it. You know, it's hard to understand.
Now, I got to imagine you're testing the limits of how many people can get on a Zoom call.
Oof.
And if you could record one of those and send it to me, I'd love to hear everything that's going on there.
I probably have. And I'm not a filthy – I'm not a potty mouth person.
I've been around you a long time. No.
Yeah, I'm not that type of dude very often. But I tell you what, that call yesterday, sheesh. My potty mouth was – I would have filled up a full jar and a half.
Well, it's the holiday season. You know, you can try to estimate that, and you do a lot of good work in the community.
Maybe
you just add another, a couple of meals when you go to the grocery store and hand over some of the charitable.
Boy.
I get you, man. Yeah. The frustration runneth over. I can see it, and, you know, I left you alone. I didn't want to poke or ask any questions, you know. I figured you needed to breathe, man.
The positive was – I was as the game seemingly was out of hand, I had to leave and I had to go take my daughter, my oldest daughter, to her volleyball tournament. She's new to the sport, but this is her third tournament, and she is coming into her own in terms of loving a sport.
Good.
So it was awesome watching her progression. And what she did yesterday, like, she pretty much took over and dominated yesterday, and this is only her third tournament. So she's showing some pretty positive genetic traits. You know, I'll say it's more her mom than it is me. People don't know her mom. They know who LeVar Arrington is, but if they ever knew her mom, they would get it. So it's pretty cool because it'll probably come to the forefront at some point that, you know, the tremendous athleticism and ability that she's showing and ending up wearing 11 at Penn State one day playing girls volleyball is going to be pretty awesome.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, there's nothing finer than that moment, right? I mean, with my little one playing soccer, she started at age 8 and everybody told her why she starts so late. She's too late to get into this. And then she started to dominate that season and hurt a couple of people with the strength of the leg, right? She's got the Quadzilla thing going. Watching that same kind of development now, you know, that's the love of her life, right? I mean, and it's cool to watch that more than anything.
Well, maybe we'll get her to Penn State. You know, we had an Olympian and a gold medalist and Allie Krager. You know, maybe we'll get her to Penn State.
You know, there you go. Get that recruiting pitch in early.
Then we can do the radio show from there.
That's all. Take over Happy Valley every couple of weeks. I like that.
Hey,
you know what? We are nationwide. 400-plus affiliates here on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, Channel 83. And as always, the little voice in your head. He's LeVar Arrington, the All-American. I'm Mike Harmon. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Our business, the NFL, coming up in about 2 hours. I'll answer all your fantasy questions. There's one that has people feeling guilty on a Sunday morning, LeVar. We'll get into that game coming up in about 20 minutes. But when we look at the start of week 11, the Seahawks gut out a win over the Arizona Cardinals on Thursday Night Football, 28-21. And whatever, Russell Wilson has himself a solid game, 197-2. DK Metcalf and his shield, his tinted visor, he dropped what should have been an easy touchdown reception. Carlos Hyde ran well, but it was Carlos Dunlap for me who was the player of the game. Right? We look at the defensive side, what that front did, pinching off the running lanes.
Yes, they did. They contained them. The jitterbug that is Kyler Murray, that was looking pretty hot. You know, he's looking pretty hot, and he is still hot. But I tell you what, Dunlap did a great job getting to him. The defense, they tightened up enough. You know, they haven't been the greatest, but they tightened up enough to do what they needed to do. And I think the Seattle Seahawks, arguably right now, I mean, I don't know that we go with the Saints, especially without Drew Brees, but you got to think that the Seahawks are probably the best team in the NFC right now. I can't think of another team that I would put above them.
Well, they all have their warts, right? When we take all the top teams in the NFC, there's something about them that you have a question. And maybe Seattle started to find some answers to the obvious big elephant in the room defensively here, right? Where Kyler Murray finishes with 15 rushing yards. Kenyon Drake finishes with just 29. And however they schemed it up, DeAndre Hopkins was just a 5-for-51 guy. Your leading receiver was Larry Fitzgerald. That hasn't happened in quite some time here. So even going back to last year, that didn't happen with great frequency. You know, with Green Bay, we'll talk about their defense. With Tampa, inconsistency, right? We see an ebb and a flow
New
of
Orleans,
what they're doing.
They're injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would
have to say it's between Green Bay and Seattle.
I cannot
convince myself to go all in with Tampa Bay. I just cannot. And I know they had a great showing. Somebody's sitting at home right now like, LeVar, you do know that Tampa Bay ran roughshod over top of Green Bay and all of that. Yeah, and they lost to New Orleans as well.
Right, swept by New Orleans. So I'll just ask the question here. Were you up all night watching a King of the Hill marathon?
No,
because that was a pretty good Hank Hill, maybe unintentional.
I do love his voice, though.
Damn it, Bobby. Yeah. So, yeah.
Bobby.
There we have it. There's your review
of
that. I am a
King of the Hill fan, though.
I like that. Well, we're going to call you King of the Hill. King of the Mammals is where you find LeVar on Instagram. WarriorWoke.com. Get the mind right. Start looking at the holidays of things you can get your kid that they won't put in the corner really quick. How about some life direction, goals, and pushing you towards greatness on there the gridiron, on the pitch, wherever you're at, and in the classrooms. So take a look at that as well, at LeVar Arrington on Twitter. You find me over at Swollen Dome. Time to get to a big one here in the National Football League for Week 11. Let's go.
Word them out. Let's go all day.
Titans and Ravens.
All right, this one's fun for me, right? You got the Titans 1-3 in their last four games. The lone win coming against the sinking Bears. For the Ravens, losers of two of their last three, but they get beaten by New England in the monsoon game, right? That was one of my upset specials last week. Comes to fruition. No Brandon Williams, no Calais Campbell, and they've benched their starting center, LeVar. Word came down a little bit earlier. Matt Skurig hits the pines. Patrick McCurry comes in. He was the center for five games last year for them in a while. And this is one of the revenge games that you circle on the calendar for Week 11. Because remember the last time that these two teams met, Derrick Henry went for a 195 in a 28-12 playoff run. I was feeling all about the revenge until these two behemoths up front got downgraded.
Well, you know, when you look at their offensive line, that's the one thing that they're trying to figure out based upon the injuries. And it has shown. It has shown them trying to adjust, putting Fluker at that tackles position, shifting Zeus Jr. Over to Orlando Brown, over to the other side, the left side. But I still think that their defense obviously is one of the top-rated defenses, even without Calais being out there. I still think that this defense can do what they need to do. I think they roll over the Titans and get the win. I think it'll be a close one, but I think they're motivated in Baltimore based upon that heartbreaker that they had against New England.
Spread 5.5 or 6, depending where you're shopping. And yes, yeah, you mentioned the offensive line. Obviously, trying to replace Stanley is a huge loss as well. But I think all in all, this is a big statement game for Harbaugh and for Lamar Jackson. So I'm on the right side of it with you. I think they come out and they get after, because Tannehill's been struggling. He had some interesting comments saying, hey, Derrick Henry's workload has been by design a little bit lightened, and maybe this is where they think they can get him on track again. But and we all watched the game tape. Nobody wants to get embarrassed like that.
Right. I think Baltimore covers the spread as well. I think they'll beat them. It'll be a close game, but I think they'll beat them by more than 5, more than 6 points.
One of my favorites on the schedule today. We got two more big games. We already mentioned the Packers. Well, they're play at Indianapolis. And then the Falcons-Saints. I think there's your spotlight game. And we are going to break it all down, including what to expect from Taysom Hill. And should you feel guilty about, well, the fantasy opportunity that has been presented to you by some fantasy suppliers. We'll talk all those things and more, just getting warmed up here on Fox Football Sunday.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh,
see, here we go. Be dancing around your house right now.
Yeah, with boxers and briefs. Word up. Yeah. And my robe, I'm in my crib, and I'm doing radio. Throw your hands in the air like you don't care. My Harmon and the 3-time All-American. Yeah, yeah, okay, here we go.
And we're back. LeVar Arrington, yes, the All-American, alongside me. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for taking a little ride with us this morning as you get your day started, wherever you are, maybe into your morning coffee, maybe into a mimosa, whatever it is. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time and being part of the extended family here at Fox Sports Radio. We got our usual team assembled, the veritable Avengers of sports talk radio. Isaac Lowenkron on the updates. We'll hear from him in a couple moments. Chris Perfett on the wheels of steel, and of course Vince Close, our executive producer. Appreciate their efforts each and every week to make us sound oh so pretty and to bring the goodness to you nationwide. All right, ready to get into this next set of games? All right, everybody, get a little stretch. Let's get it. Next one.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Packers and Colts.
Now we're talking Indy. The slight 1-point favorite, 51.5 is your over under in this one. Packers 3-2 since their week 5 bye. 6 times this season have they scored at least 30 points. On the other side, Well, you look at the Colts, and you get Michael Pittman Jr., and all of a sudden, well, things open up a little bit. T.Y. Hilton doesn't have to be the number one guy. Even with the injured tight ends, you're able to find some work in the passing game. Why? Nyheim Hines has become a number one option, playing the role that we expected him to in the receiving game, but also he's become their leading runner. Jonathan Taylor, expected to be a beast, has been reduced to a... He's barely falling forward, LeVar. I hate to say it, but I mean, he's about 5'10". That's about what he's getting per carry. You might as well just do a timber with him, and that's about it. So Hines taking over a little bit more. You've seen Jordan Wilkins and Phillip Rivers playing quietly some pretty good ball. But the strength of this is Darius Leonard and Anthony Walker in the heart of that defense. And the Packers come in. Lazard may be activated. Not quite sure what status is. Game time for him, but it's been about Davante Adams' ankle injury sidelined him, but he's a beast. I mean, he's just scary to watch people try to contain him, because with the pinpoint accuracy of Aaron Rodgers, it's a pitch and catch no matter the coverage.
It certainly is, and I'm definitely going with Green Bay on this one. I know all those things that you just ran off about the Colts, and the Colts have been finding ways to win games. They have quietly climbed to the record that they have this year. So, and I think that, you know, I think it's a great matchup. They got them at home, but we all know there's no home field advantage other than having to travel across the country or part of the country or somewhat of the country to go to somebody else's crib to play. So I don't look at Aaron Rodgers having too much trouble with this Colts team. Question is, can Phillip Rivers and this offense generate enough offense to be able to keep up with that Green Bay Packers offense? And I just don't see it. I don't see them doing it. I do believe that the Colts probably have the better defense in this game from my standpoint. But if they're a 1-point dog, I'm taking them straight up. I say the Green Bay Packers get this game.
The curiosity of what happens should the Colts win is really the delicious theater and all this, right? Colts beat the Packers and everybody starts losing their mind, because that's what we are in 2020. The overreaction. Like, usually it's week one overreaction. This year it seems like we put so much weight on the NFL continuing to just move through its schedule that every week has so much weight as to whether a team is any good. So,
well, that it says the dominance of what the AFC is, because you can think of a whole lot more really, really strong AFC teams versus really, really strong NFC teams. So it'd be interesting to see if they do pull this game out, if they win it. If they win it in emphatic fashion, then I think you're okay to have those meltdown conversations about the Colts are really for real. But if they just win the game or pull it off, or, you know, just kind of one of those get through it, you can still say that they're for real with a win against Green Bay, but I wouldn't get carried away.
See, I'm going to go for the chaos theory. Winners of three of their last four, 31 or more points in each of those wins. Look at Phillip Rivers and company. Nyheim Hines creeping out of the backfield, and Michael Pittman. I'm hanging a star on him, and all my fantasy and, predictive fortunes here. That's 5 miles if Phillip doesn't get it done. So I'm taking the Colts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no.
That's a bold pick.
Well,
it's not a bad pick.
Yeah,
it's
a slight favorite, though. You know, but be bold. Everybody looking to coronate Aaron Rodgers on a weekly basis. So we'll see what happens in this one. A couple of veterans slinging it out. How about that? That's kind of like all the battles that we'll see at Survivor Series later on tonight. All right, next game.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Falcons and Saints.
All right, I wanted to make sure we had a couple of minutes for this one, because it's the Taysom Hill show. Right?
It's a peculiar game.
Right, the Falcons, some early reports saying, hey, Raheem Morris on track to keep this job. They like what they've seen about how the locker room's responded to his leadership. You've seen the defense play a bit better. Curious to see how much you get of Calvin Ridley today. Foot injury, looks like he's going to go, but Olamide Zaccheaus might be a guy to factor in a little bit more. He and Russell Gage in the passing game. But for the Saints, it's all about the quarterback decision. We saw Winston come in to relieve the injured Drew Brees. 11 rib issues here, LeVar. 11.
Yes.
My God.
That's a full rack.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. No doubt about that. So we saw Winston last week. Obviously, we've seen Taysom Hill in bits and pieces. I mentioned the fantasy angle. Look, depending on your provider, he has tight end eligibility. And no, it's not cheating if you use him as a tight end this week. They made the decision to give him the dual eligibility based on how he's been used. You know, your opponent doesn't like it. Too bad. Send him a nice greeting card and a summer sausage, and he'll have to get over it. But for Taysom Hill, what are you expecting?
I wouldn't be surprised if they use Taysom Hill in limited duty as the QB. I think we get carried away sometimes. Oh, the starter. Like, okay, starter is really just a classification of who's going to trot out on the field the first time that the team goes out there. I would not be surprised if Jameis takes the vast majority of the snaps. I would not be surprised if that was a smokescreen move by Sean Payton to get a team preparing for Taysom and you get a full deal of Jameis. Now, it's an interdivisional, you know, matchup, so they're familiar with Jameis, even if Jameis comes in and plays, because they went against him when he was in Tampa Bay. But we still don't know if there has been a change with Jameis Hill in the way that he plays since going to quarterback U. So it'll be interesting to see, but I expect to see a lot of Jameis Winston today. I expect to see a lot of Saints today, but this is one of those peculiar games, because even though the Falcons let one slip recently, I still think that they're the best losing record team in the National Football League. So they're very dangerous. This is a trap game at home for the Saints, but I still think the Saints get it.
I think the Saints win. I'll take Atlanta plus the 3.5, LeVar, in this one. Okay. 50.5 is your over-under. I think it's a close game, but I agree with you. I proffered the same conspiracy thought. We had Jay Glazer on Thursday night. Jason Smith and I, and he seemed all on board the Jameis Winston thing. So when Friday morning it starts being reported Taysom's going to start, I have the same thought you did, is that you're going to see a lot of Jameis Winston, and that it's just a matter of, all right, career start stats are the only thing that are going to matter in this one for Taysom Hill. So that was the, because look, Glazer's tight with Sean Payton, and I didn't think he would come on air and lie to me. Maybe he would. I don't know. But I think we've gone back and forth, and he's got his credibility to think about there. So, you know, unless something really dramatically changed on the overnight, it made the Falcons prepare for Taysom Hill for 48 hours.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to matter. They probably prepare for both. But again, if you can gain any slight advantage,
sure,
and you use that as one of them, then there's nothing wrong with that. But don't look for that to be a big major determining factor in terms of, oh my gosh, they took too long to announce their starting quarterback. Oh, Sean would not deny nor confirm, other than the fact that they named their starter, but you didn't connect a name to it. Like, come on, man. They got bigger issues to worry about in Atlanta, and believe you me, they're going to come out and they're going to play, and I think they're going to play well. I'm with you on that plus three. I think it's a close one, but I still think I got to go with the Saints on this game.
Lattimore a little bit banged up as well, an ab injury for the Saints, so we keep an eye on that. Obviously, we know Julio Jones and his brilliance. Here's a random stat that was thrown out by Pro Football Focus Fantasy. Alvin Kamara has been targeted behind the line of scrimmage as a receiver 39 times this year. That really doesn't mean anything. I just thought it was kind of interesting. A lot of activity. But as we know, look, I, as a guy growing up in Chicago, I don't have to worry about the Bears and what they do today because they have a bye week. But throwing a lot of balls at or behind the line of scrimmage hasn't worked out quite so well for them. So scheme it up better and get a better running back. Sorry, David Montgomery. It had to be said. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. We continue to roll through the games in 90 seconds. But first, it's Isaac Lohengrin with an update on the goings-on of this
story. Hello, Michael. Hello, LeVar. Let's start with some news that'll make anybody wince. Ed Warder reporting that Saints quarterback Drew Brees has been found to have a total of 11 broken ribs. That's more than double the total found from initial testing done last Monday. Yeah.
Horrible deal, but great number.
Brees told Warder that doctors have been encouraged by his improvement in lung function after it was punctured during the first half of last Sunday's win over the the 49ers. That's always good to know. Brees was placed on injured reserve on Friday. 11 ribs and a punctured lung. I had to look up to find out just how many ribs the human body has. So a bit of an anatomy lesson.
16 per side.
Actually, it's 12 per side.
Yeah, I didn't know. I was
Wait a minute.
Well, LeVar's got extra. That's what made him king of the mammals.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Is this breaking news here?
No,
is this just extra evidence?
He's a genetic
superhuman. LeVar Arrington.
I was trying to be like Sean Payton and throw everybody off.
All right.
He's a metahuman. Yeah.
Maybe you should just count right now just to make sure. Maybe I should. I'm saying that could explain a lot.
And then I'll start counting.
In college football on Saturday night, 13th-ranked Georgia defeated Mississippi State 31-24. Georgia quarterback JT Daniels, 28 of 38, 401 yards, 4 touchdown passes. Number 18, Oklahoma over 14th-ranked Oklahoma State, 41-13. Sooner QB Spencer Rattler, 17 of 24 for 301, 4 touchdown passes. Michigan prevailed in triple overtime at Rutgers, 48-42. And in the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski reports free agent big man Serge Ibaka is joining the Los Angeles Clippers on a 2-year, $19 million deal. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has agreed to a 3-year, $40 million deal to return to the world champion Lakers. Michael and LeVar, as I run my fingers over my rib cage, trying to count all the while, back to you.
Nicely done. At Isaac Lohengrin.
Ilo Wild Ribs.
I only found 11. What?
Oh, my goodness. Ilo Wild
Ribs. Supposed to be an even number.
Come to Ilo's Rib Shack.
Extra ranch dressing.
Home of the 11. Home of the 11. The full of 11
the full
ranch
11.
Rib. Yeah.
11 ribs. I like that.
Yeah.
It's a co-production from Isaac Lohengrin and LeVar Arrington. Wow, that's just gone next level. All right, I got a whole comedy sketch that we can do with that one in a future moment. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It's easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico, so you can go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is going to be figuring out which way is easier, so go to geico.com. Today. All right. We got three games we got to get through. We've got Steelers, Jaguars. Let's hear it.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Steelers and Jaguars.
The deeper voice just sells it a little bit more. Steelers, 10-point favorites on the road against Luton and the Jacksonville Jaguars. 46.5 is your over under. Last week, a lot of people laughing, chuckling. Oh, Green Bay is going to wipe the floor. No, not so fast. Jaguars.
They almost lost that.
They almost lose outright. So I don't think Mike Tomlin and company are feeling fat and happy right now. So I would expect them to come out with their normal full effort and really get after the rookie. So this one, I'm looking at Pittsburgh. They win the game. I'm actually going to take them to cover the double digits, too, and put a hurting on them.
Oh, wow. I think Jacksonville is playing some poised football right now. And I do take the Steelers to win this one. But I would not be surprised if they do not cover the spread. So I think it might be a very close game. You know, AFC opponents that have very, very fine history going back to the Cornell Lakes playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars and being such a Pittsburgh hero and star. I just think back to those classic rumbles between them and those playoff games with Tony Brackens and Tony Baselli. And then on the other side, you had guys like LeVon Kirkland and Chad Brown and all those. I think it's going to be a close game because these two teams don't have any love lost for one another. So I take the Steelers, but I do not think they'll cover that spread.
Man, I dig you busting out Baselli and Carnell.
Yeah.
Reminds me that we should both reach out to Chad Brown today and say hi. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
So,
hey, Chad.
Well, you know, I've done a couple of shows with Chad back in the day. Hi, Chad, if you're out there.
Chad is
he had a great reptile business going the last
man.
I talked to him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that
those
was
exotics.
Cool, random. Hey, there's a lot of money to be made if you can get the care right. There's no question about that. Jaguars, of course, we celebrate James Robinson. Tough matchup for him from a fantasy angle. Chenault Jr. is out for this one. And who doesn't love the exploits of DJ Chark? Still going to play him, right? Because if you're down, all points count just the same. Next!
Wear him out. Let's go all day.
Bengals at Washington.
All right, Bengals put Joe Mixon on the IR. We're not going to spend much time here.
Who even care? Ain't nobody care, as my man Prime would say.
All right, Terry
McLaurin is a
top five fantasy player. Alex Smith is a nice sleeper.
Oh my God.
Joe Burrow is still going to. Hey, I'm giving it its proper 40 seconds.
Okay, give it its proper form.
That's all it's getting. Okay.
Ain't nobody care.
Don't get excited about it.
Can't nobody care.
You know what was funny? We were talking. I was having. You know what? This is more important. Let's just make the pick. I'm going to take Washington home.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
I think the Bengals are going to clip them.
See, now we have a disagreement. We have to talk about this. Washington, it's basically a pick 'em. Washington's minus one.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are going to clip them, man. And the reason why is I think they're improving. You're starting to see the strides and see the competition levels improve for the Cincinnati Bengals. And listen, Washington, they're finding ways to disappoint as usual, right? I mean, you're looking at how things are panning out for them and the way that they're playing. It's just – it doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. Like, this is a 2-1
team. Narrow losses in a row after their bye, absolutely.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. Detroit is an all right team. Like, they're okay, you know, but, man, Detroit? You lost to Detroit?
Yeah, we're going to get into them in just a second. All right, you're taking the Bengals. I was going to make the point. One of the stories of the week, right, was Kyler Murray kind of, you know, waxing poetic about his baseball days, wishing he could do both. And I brought up Deion Sanders to my daughters, and they both went, they said the guy signing footballs on the Subway commercial, right?
Yeah, there you go.
It was an easy segue for me to then bring up a YouTube clip of him as a ball player, and then as a returner and cornerback, dominating as he did. So it was a nice teachable sports lesson on just bringing up Kyler Murray and, you know, growing up how he did multiple sports and whatever. Because my younger daughter, no interest. Right, a lot of different sports, but soccer. As soon as she grabbed onto that, that was it. I don't care about anything else. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, and the older one, she's my theater kid. So we just run show tunes in the car.
One quick note before we get up out of here this one is that the Cincinnati Bengals were at least good enough to earn a tie, so that they have one less loss than the Washington football team. Just so we're clear on the technicalities, both teams have two wins, but both teams do not have seven losses, and they have played the same amount of games.
Ooh, you just
I just thought that'd
just
be a funny little interesting.
Mind.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting little tidbit.
There you go. One last.
They were good enough
the
not to lose one game. You know,
yeah, that's right.
They didn't win it.
No,
they didn't win it, but they didn't lose it.
1-4 in their last five games. The one win, a 31-20 win over Tennessee. Otherwise, 27-3 to Baltimore, 31-27 to Indy, 37-34 to Cleveland, and then they got stomped last week at Pittsburgh, well, as we kind of expected. So we moved through. You've got Samaje Perine alongside Giovanni
sounds
Bernard.
It sounds like a brand of pork grinds.
We
the
can Perine work on that, too.
Pork grinds.
See,
barbecue,
now I want some chicharrones.
Original flavor.
I need some of that now. See, that's going to be
pepper.
My guilty. Yeah, you got to get some lemon pepper. You want to talk about something that got the hype when it's the 2020 year in review? The surge of searches for lemon pepper wings will no doubt be one of the top 10 that isn't adults oriented. He's LeVar Arrington at King of the Mammals on Instagram. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Couple of games coming up for you next. The aforementioned Lions, they're facing the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey owners, I know, give you a big hug because he's out again. And then we have the always curious case of your Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get into those games next as we continue on Fox Sports Radio.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. It's Mike Harmon alongside the All-American, LeVar Arrington.
Yeah.
Fantasy questions, get them in at Swollen Dome. Questions on the meaning of life, you can go at King of the Mammals, at LeVar Arrington. Might find a guy walking around in a bathrobe spouting off about the NFL or college football,
That's
just
true.
Walking his neighborhood. You don't know.
That That is true.
Especially, you know, as things continue to flow. We've got a couple of huge games coming up on this NFL slate. One that we'll get into the beginning of next hour. And then, of course, Monday Night Football, one here everybody's waiting for in Los Angeles. Why? Because it's the weekly Tom Brady. Is he good? Is he not? Kind of debate. But we got two more games for this hour, including one that concerns, well, our man that handles our sound, Chris Perfett. Let's go.
Wear him out. Let's go all day.
Lions and Panthers.
Lions and Panthers. Panthers still a three-point favorite. There's some question marks as to whether Teddy Bridgewater will be able to go in this game. Christian McCaffrey out. Definitely, that is not going to happen for them this time around. As we look at the Carolina Panthers depth chart, you're going to potentially see P.J. Walker and Will Greer, the second-year man. Walker, the rookie. Mike Davis back as your number one running back. We know how they've been creative in using D.J. Moore and Curtis Samuel. I expect an awful lot of Curtis Samuel as a runner, as a receiver. Might throw a couple passes along the way. On the other side, no Galladay, no Amendola, and Matthew Stafford has a tear in his thumb. We will leave all comments and concerns about his wife to the wayside. Let's talk football.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you saw it too.
yeah.
But
yeah.
Stafford against a backup quarterback and a defense that isn't very good. DeAndre Swift in concussion protocol. So what does that mean? Fire up your Adrian Peterson. Let's go. The veteran once again. I'm taking the Lions on the road.
You know, I can't disagree with you on your reasoning. I think that both teams are struggling teams. They're fringe teams. They could actually be half decent or they could be really half bad. And I think they're closer to bad than they are decent. And to lose your starting quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, not having McCaffrey, a first-year head coach, first-time NFL head coach, I just look at Matt Patricia. You can't mess this one up if you're expecting to continue to be the head coach of the Detroit Lions. So I think just by process of elimination, you got to go with the Detroit Lions on this game.
You got Bridgewater with the knee injury, the, quote, true game-time decision, according to Ian Rappaport. P.J. Walker, we saw him in the XFL. Because I got to do my best, yeah. Vince McMahon, as we're on Survivor Series, end of the
Undertaker. I had a great one-liner, too, by the way, Mike, but it would not. I don't want to get kicked off of the airways and be found to be not sensitive.
Oh, that'd be too bad.
It's the world has gotten way too sensitive, so I had to hold off on my one-liner, but it was good. I just wanted to let everybody know. It would have been good if I said it. But I ain't going to say it because I probably would not be on the air anymore, which it wasn't even bad, but it just
Better to air, you know, err on the side of caution.
Oh, you have to.
We could do some of that in live streaming, and then maybe it goes into the ether. But even then, you know, the walls have ears,
buddy. I'm not even going to say it, but it was funny to me in my head.
Well, as long as you got a chuckle on
it. It would have been funny to everyone else, but I'm just going to hold on to it.
All right, so we're both on Detroit. This is the time of the show where we always turn to Chris Perfett and we say, all right,
yeah, here we go.
Your Lions, are they back at 500 when we celebrate them on Thanksgiving Day?
Honestly, we haven't seen this. We're bridging this over to, you know, Thanksgiving. If they can make it these next two games, they haven't won three in a row since the Caldwell days. DeAndre Swift being out really hurts, though. Adrian Peterson has just not been good. Every time he's had to handle the ball, he's just... I know people think about the veteran Adrian Peterson. He's just not good. It's just what it is right now. I like the Lions here. I think both teams are pretty banged up. Detroit probably like blows a late lead and then barely claws back or holds on through some shenanigans, though.
I do like that. You got the Lions clawing back. Well done. I don't think you intended
game
that.
Game of cats.
But you did it really well.
Cat game.
Yeah.
There you go. Now I'm going to go watch cats. With Taylor Swift and James Corden and all of those.
Well, don't do that, please.
Don't
do that.
And it wasn't bad. Sunday. It was just weird. I'm not saying I'm watching it today. Are you kidding me?
I saw the musical.
The preview was weird.
I saw the musical when it was like off Broadway, and it's still weird.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. I'm not gonna. I watched the movie. I'm just saying it was more weird than bad. All right, we got one more game. We're going to start it here, but we're going to bridge it to the top of next hour because there's a lot going on here. So let's get it.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Eagles and Browns.
All right, a lot of great Doug Peterson sound throughout the week relative to this game and everything that's going on. When he went on WIP to start the week after the last week's loss, they said they'd taken a poll, and 72% of respondents blamed the coaching staff for the loss. And then the co-host went and said, well, we're pleased to welcome in coach of your Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug. And we have that sound in the system. It really is classic. We may play the beginning of that coming up the beginning of next hour. But this is a game where futures are made, I think, when we're talking. And you got two embattled quarterbacks when we talk about Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield. So much to break down in this. And we have the big return bout. The wheels on the bus go round and round the stadium, leaving everybody to get upset and having to worry about that. But will we see much of a game in the rematch? LeVar Arrington, Mike Harmon here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings. Welcome back in. It's hour two of the program, Fox Football Sunday. Thanks for being part of the extended family, wherever you are out and about on a Sunday. Appreciate you making some time to have a laugh, get some information, get ready for your fantasy games, or just whoever you're FaceTiming with and, you know, having your virtual gatherings here on a Sunday ahead of Thanksgiving week. If you are traveling to see family and you're out and about, just be safe, be smart, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and that's it. I wrap you all in a big hug as much as my 5'7" short arm frame can go. What do you think, LeVar? Is that the best way to say it?
Yes.
You got more reach than I do. At LeVar Arrington. I mean, in so many ways. At it's LeVar right. Arrington on Twitter. At King of the Mammals on Instagram. WarriorWoke.com. He's got a lot of ways reaching out and giving out information. Things, you know, points to ponder for the course of your day. Trying to set you on the right track as well as coaching some high school football and getting some athletes ready. Whether we have a season or not is a whole other thing, but they will be prepared. I can promise you that.
Yeah, I like that. But you know, hey, it's one of these things that we got going on. The love of the game overcomes and supersedes all, man. And I'm enjoying us calling these games today. I'm enjoying this slate of games that are up. And, you know, we're in our second hour. So, you know, let's knock it down. I mean, this Eagle Browns game, I'm really excited about.
All right, ready? Last end of last hour, I teased Doug Peterson. This was some great sound.
You did tease it.
And if folks haven't heard this, and maybe you have and you just want to revisit it, kind of funny when you're brought on for your weekly hit, well, and things go sideways.
Who do you blame the most for the Eagles' 10-point loss to the Giants? 72% coaching.
Head coach of the Eagles, Doug Peterson. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Angelo. Thanks for the lead-in. I appreciate that.
I'm sorry.
Was awesome. That just puts me in a great mood today. Already in a good mood. Yeah. Appreciate it.
I kind of felt you probably wouldn't be in a good mood.
I hang up now?
No, please don't, Doug.
I'm feeling my obligation right now. If I hang up, I feel my obligation.
Doug.
There you go. I filled my obligation. I answered the phone.
And that was real. And that was a real irritation.
Yeah, and he got pretty salty.
That was not for fake.
You know, for Sunday morning purposes, we cut the back end. He basically just said he was upset at everybody using what is an FCC-compliant word. But let's just call it what it is. He's an angry man. He's frustrated at where this team is at this juncture. Cleveland today. The big one for me that turned my attention to the Eagles my upset special that I give out is, well, Myles Garrett's not available to him, LeVar. So that pass rush that's normally so formidable, they're going to have to find someone else to pick up the slack.
Well, I tell you what, the Browns are an anomaly. And I wonder, do I want to go all in bad on them or do I want to go all in good with them? Like, this could be a team that is possibly trending up, Mike.
Yeah. The schedule is nice for them right now, too.
Right. But they could be a team that starts to trend down. For some strange reason, they are the most maligned winning team in the NFL. I have no idea why, other than the fact that we looked at how much talent that they have and we expect them to be better than what they are. So with that being said, looking at this game, I still believe without Myles Garrett and OBJ, obviously, this is still one of those games where the Eagles have to travel to the Browns. What do the Eagles have? Like, you heard how upset Doug Peterson is. I'm sure the players are upset. Everybody's upset in Philadelphia. They're trying to figure it out, trying to find their way. I actually think the Browns are going to edge the Eagles out in this game.
Well, they could very easily. Hey, look, if it plays to script off of what stats tell us, the Browns should be able to run all over the Eagles. Eagles give it up the fourth most rushing yards per game in the National Football League, and we know what Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt can do on the ground. So you're going to have to force them into passing situations and have Baker Mayfield put the ball in the air, I think, to get over here. Zach Ertz is in his practice window but may not be available for this one. Dallas Goedert is. Miles Sanders looking for him to, in his, you know, comeback, maybe an extra week of work that he's rounded back in. It's supposed to be cold and rainy, maybe another monsoon for the Cleveland area. Be safe out there, people. So it sounds like you're on the other side. And for the Cleveland Browns, you look at their schedule right now, LeVar. They had that win over Houston last week, Philadelphia this week, and then at Jacksonville, so a chance to put up another win. You win these two in a row, and now we're talking about an 8-3 team, and people are still going to be questioning it. Why? Because there's just something about Baker Mayfield that people just aren't getting over.
And you know what it is? They want – the people that can't get over him want him to be able to win the big games. He hasn't won the big games, Mike.
Yeah.
He's winning games, but all his losses are against the bigger teams, the bullies of the AFC North. Obviously, you know, he doesn't show up in the franchise. I can crown him a franchise quarterback games. And I think that's the thing about it is he has so much fanfare and so much coverage surrounding him that you expect for him to deliver on at least one of those games where you could say, okay, there's a signature win. He has not given us a signature win yet.
No, and that, just to go through their schedule real quick, for those unawares of what the – or unaware, I added an S just for savings. You talk about the season-opening loss to Baltimore, 38-6, and then got pummeled by Pittsburgh in Week 6, 38-7. Their other loss against Vegas, again, in the rainstorm, 16-6. So whatever you think of that one. Otherwise, two wins over Cincinnati, a win over Washington, a win over Dallas. Give them some credit for the win over Indianapolis, right? That's the one. That's their best win as we sit here right now in Week 11, which is great because, like everything else in this world, we have no idea what they are, except that the big boys of their division are still putting a hurting on them. Still two more games against them.
That's the truth.
Week 14 against Baltimore, and then Week 17 home against Pittsburgh. Next!
That's the truth. Come on! Yeah.
Run them out! Let's go all day!
Chiefs and Raiders.
All right, revenge game time. Or something like that. That's what the sales sheet told me.
How
this
crazy would that be if they get them again, though?
If they get them again at home. We're talking Kansas City, touchdown favorite on the road against Las Vegas. Mitchell Schwartz missing once again. Sammy Watkins still banged up. You might not see him either. Going back to, well, the only loss of the year for your Kansas City Chiefs when they gave up a 40-burger to the Raiders at Arrowhead. I mean,
they had no regard whatsoever for what is supposed to be the scariest football team in all of the National Football League. No regard. Just disrespected them all day long.
Raiders, another team at 6-3 that, to some degree, you're still trying to figure out. Defense played better. quote unquote, these last couple of weeks. I mean, Drew Lock and the Broncos, that offensive line's a turnstile, LeVar. So, I mean, that I don't know that that kid's getting, not that he's been good, but he's his evaluation to me is, I think people are just looking to get after John Elway in Denver because of the quarterback choices. Week before, a 31-26 win over the Chargers. We know with Justin Herbert, makes some big plays, but that defense falls apart in the second half. And then that narrow win we talked about against Cleveland. Kansas City, by most accounts, everybody waiting for Patrick Mahomes to, at my signal, unleash hell. But I say not so fast. This offense, when you add a couple of speedsters on the outside, Jacobs, the running back, alongside Devontae Booker, who's played really well for them the last couple of weeks, I don't think the Vegas Raiders go away quite so easily.
No, I don't think they'll go away. I think that they'll play very hard, but I don't think that they're going to win. I do think this is revenge gate number one revenge game. Not revenge gate, just revenge
game. You can
game.
Put a gate on it, but usually that becomes politics. And you know what? Yeah, we stay away from politics here.
That seems to be negative. So there's nothing negative connected to this. It's just really all about Kansas City remembers this game. Kansas City has really dominated pretty much everything, every game this year. So I would look for them to go into this game really, really wanting to provide a statement of sorts of don't think y'all can beat us. You know, we don't need anyone out here believing or feeling or thinking that they can beat us. So, yeah, I'm taking Kansas City.
Right on. What did you think of the bus story of the week? The saltiness over the literal victory lap around Arrowhead.
Yeah, I mean, listen. They beat them, and they were able to get it done. So what are you going to do? Are you going to stop them? I mean, they pretty much – I mean, they had their way with Kansas City in Kansas. I mean, was that the most times he's been sacked this year?
Oh, yeah. No, that was one of the best game plans that we've seen. And that was the Raiders' best game defensively until last week's win over the Broncos, right? They doubled their season turnover total last week, LeVar. That's how bad that defense had been.
I think Kansas City was careless in the game. I don't think they'll be that careless in this game.
Clean it all up, Kansas City. Let's get one more in real quick.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Patriots and Texans.
All of a sudden, the Patriots, who everybody said, oh, they're tanking. They're terrible. All right, they had a bunch of guys opt out. All right, one, you stipulate to that. Two, Cam Newton, new offense, trying to get a rhythm. Three, you really don't have any playmakers. Oh, wait, maybe you found one in Jacoby Myers, a guy that you can actually throw the ball to. I don't know. He was on my fantasy ninjas list the last 2 years. So good to see it finally come to fruition here with some big target numbers these last couple of weeks. On the other side, the Houston Texans, they're just trying to get through the season at this point. 2-7 is the record. You've given up 252 points to this point. Winners of just one of their last four games, and that was a narrow victory over your Jacksonville Jaguars, who we remember beat the Colts and then have gone winless since. For Deshaun Watson, at least he still has Will Fuller. That made him feel better that Fuller didn't get traded. This one, New England, a narrow road favorite, -2, over-under sitting at 49, LeVar.
This is a hard one to call. I think it was a big win for them against the Ravens this past week, obviously, and they needed that. That could be the determining factor of the season, not just for a moment, for a season and for a career with Cam Newton. Now, the Texans, that's interesting. The way they took it, you know, what was it, against the Browns they lost to?
Lost 10-7 like last week.
It's like a snoozer game, man. Yes. But they played defense, so I feel like the Texans have a really, really strong opportunity to surprise people and actually upend up in the Patriots. But I really believe that that could have been the moment of truth for this Patriots team. It's like that people are writing them off. They don't think that they could be as good as they once were, at least not this year. Everybody talks about guys opting out because they may or may not like Bill Belichick. Is this the run of the era for Belichick? I think not. And I think that the Patriots get another win today.
I am with you. I'm going to take the Patriots on the road. A lot of folks are either going to have to erase old tapes or actually admit they were wrong in the evaluation of what was going on here in LeVar. Reminder, Sony Michel up again for the Patriots. So everybody that had Damian Harris, be careful. We're now in that weird Bill Belichickian world where between Rex Burkhead catching touchdown passes, Michel being up, and Damian Harris, that there's no guarantee of your return from your fantasy running backs. I will say this. I'm calling for the victory. Cam Newton on the ground as well, leeching into that total. Coming up next, well, we've got a surging team that is really interesting for these final 7 weeks of the season. As we come to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Give LeVar a follow. Go and wave at him over on Instagram, at King of the Mammals, at LeVar Arrington on Twitter. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Get those fantasy questions in. We'll continue to roll through those. We've got four more games to go before we get to our Mammals of the Week here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Check. Check.
Yep.
Check. Yeah. Yep. Real big. Real smooth. Big Steppers. Big Steppers. Mike Harmon. Big Var. Big Steppin. Sunday morning. Calling games. We're going to be 100% one of us because we ain't agree on all of them. That's okay. You pick.
Welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. The free wheeling, freestyling, free whatever else your imagination wants to get you. LeVar Arrington. At LeVar Arrington on Twitter, at King of the Mammals on Instagram. And some of you got that joke, some of you let it fly right by, and that's just fine by me. We're right. Cruising here on a Sunday morning. Coming up at the top of the hour, you'll have Carissa Thompson, Colin Cowherd, and the team getting you ready for the NFL slate as well. Some of your great storylines, obviously Peter Schrager, Jay Glazer, giving you all the latest information on ins and outs. We're going with the information we have now. It's been a little slow in terms of injury news here this morning. Normally we get a barrage about 2 a.m. Pacific time. Right now it's a little slow. I do know that Tristan Thompson is heading to the Celtics. How about that? There's one. Here in Los Angeles, obviously a lot of fights over Lakers and Clippers. But our business for now, we could do that another time, LeVar, because there's a lot of movement in the NBA that is absolutely fascinating to me, like Michael Jordan giving Gordon Hayward $30 million a year.
Nice.
Nice work if you can get it, right?
I guess nice to get it. It's funny. Somebody made the point that the history of players that Michael Jordan has gone after, even when he was playing, like from starting with Kwame Brown all the way to present day, he has never drafted or brought somebody his way that plays like him or reminds him of him. I don't understand that. Like, and now, granted, how hard is it going to be to find somebody that is comparable to Michael Jordan, but why not try to find the closest comparables in players? Like, that's strange to me. Like, somebody pointed out all of his draft, and I don't know them off the top of my head, but they were pointing out the guys that he's brought in, like, since having the decision-making power, and he's fallen flat on it. I mean, the ball decision, I'm not knocking it. I mean, I know he can play, but it just always seems like he gets guys that are – he can always easily look at himself and say, I was better than that. Like, it's a built-in excuse. Like, I was better than that.
No, that's it, right? Is when you get in the position of power, it's the question of how you want to build, right? The old rule of thumb is to – get people as smart or smarter than you with more disciplines represented and different ideas. And, you know, I saw the thread that had started, and I'll just leave it here for now. Look, LeBron's better at building teams, and he's still active.
Ooh.
It ain't his job. I mean, look, Clutch Sports has done a tremendous job building this Lakers squad. I can tell you that.
Ooh.
And it was good to see KCP get rewarded. Look, I'm a Chicago guy. I'm not one to blast Jordan, but Jordan the player. Like, we can always have those goat fights. But when you get into Jordan the administrator, Jordan the owner.
Yeah, well, that ain't so good.
Yeah,
That ain't so good.
Not so great. But, yeah, we roll through, no question. And another note that just popped by, based on all the roster moves, Zion Williamson is now the longest tenured New Orleans Pelicans player. Good night, everybody. How do you like that? All right, let's get back into the games.
Sheesh.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Cowboys and Vikings.
One that everybody's excited about. Well, I am on one side of it because I am really curious. At 4-5, what are the Minnesota Vikings? Winners of three straight, all divisional games. Took down the Packers. We remember the 28-22 win. Then beat the Lions by two touchdowns. And then eked out what was really a terrible game against the Bears on Monday Night Football. A game that even quasi-competent quarterbacking by Nick Foles and play calling by Bill Lazor, Matt Nagy, whoever wants to take credit or blame for that, probably should have gotten them a victory. But I'll get off my soapbox here. Going up against the Cowboys, you're looking at a 7-point line at home. The Vikings favored. 48 is your over-under. Dallas welcoming back Andy Dalton. A lot of questions surrounding Ezekiel Elliott. And to put proper respect on your name, LeVar, you asked the question very, very early in the season, even when the numbers and fantasy points were high, what was wrong with Ezekiel Elliott? And now that is the national narrative of, is he done? ...
Oof. Well, Jerry Jones seems to think he's still the best player on his football team, which right now, today, I don't know how much of a compliment that would be. but what I will do is give one Mike Harmon his credit and his just due. You called money on the turnaround with the Vikings because of Dalvin Cook's re-entrance into the lineup. They have been a much different team. Less turnovers, more effective since the return of Dalvin Cook. So, for me, I look at this Minnesota team. They will continue to roll, get through games. And just from the way I'm looking at it, I have seen nothing that would give me any type of bearings of sorts to get my direction together on the Dallas Cowboys going in the right direction. So I'm definitely going to take the Vikings. I don't think they cover the spread. I think it'll be maybe by less than 6. It might be a 3-point game. They play competitive football, but they're just not – they just don't know how to win in Dallas right now. So I'm going with the Vikes.
Dallas right now, the turnover differential, LeVar, minus 13. Just 7 takeaways on the season. And if Dalvin Cook can get off early in the run game, he and maybe even a little smattering of Alexander Madison. Why? Because we like to sing the Alexander Hamilton song. Alexander Madison on a Sunday morning. Yeah, that's right. You want a freestyle? I'm going to sing about the backup running back for your Minnesota Vikings. And you're going to like it.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, now you hate me. You used to love me, but now you hate me. I'm with you. I think Dallas plays hard coming out of the bye week. Andy Dalton still trying to audition for long-term futures here in your National Football League, and those receivers can still get after it. But it's all about limiting the turnovers from Kirk Cousins, and he's done a good job of that of late. Because even last week, everybody was focused on one of the interceptions, blaming him, even on the broadcast. I'm like, did you not see the ball go through Adam Thielen's hands? Like, it was a shot clean through. Like, I was watching Law and Order. How did he die? It was a shot clean through. That's what happened with Adam Thielen, right through his hands. Yet everybody, there's Kirk Cousins with another turnover. Nicely done.
Oh, wow.
Well played, my friend. Well played. Next!
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Dolphins and Broncos.
All right, the fighting Flores are coming for you. in a big way. -3.5 on the road at Denver. 45, you're over under. Maybe a Driscoll kind of situation. No, Drew Lock has been cleared to play, and I don't know how great that is. I'm glad he fought through, right, because there's been some questions about his toughness, for sure. And that offensive line is Swiss cheese. Like, they're terrible right now. There's just no – and I never want to demean a man's effort, man's job. Those five guys, they have not figured out how to protect him.
You know who's
him.
Cutting Swiss cheese right now? You know who's Swissing the cheese with Swiss Army knives?
Hit it.
The Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins offense.
How
fun
are they?
Cheesing.
They've been fun, right? Because we talked about them early – coming into the season, right? We liked the way they played for Flores last year. Right, they traded away a lot of assets, a lot of big names, guys, and you saw the team respond, and they fought.
They showed a strong pulse.
Right,
their
and then
pulse
this
is strong.
Year, now you start winning some games, you make the switch to Tua, and
they
thus
made
far
the
it's
switch
worked.
And started winning.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. You made the switch, and Fitzpatrick was hurt and devastated. And distraught and destroyed over it, and Miami's done nothing but win since.
Winners now of five straight.
I'm with you,
Fitz. After that 1-3 start.
But I hate to say this, it was the right move, sir.
Well, won that game over the Jets, and then, well, now we got three straight. With Tua. And that first one with Tua was just fantastic because it was the biggest crazy clown show that ever was. It cost Ted Ginn Jr. his job, by the way, because when they returned that punt against Johnny Hecker, the Dolphins,
they let him go.
They let him go because they're like, you know what? Five times he gave you a shot to make a play, and you just watched the ball bounce. So see ya. He was in Chicago at the time.
Wouldn't want to be you.
Yeah. So winners. All right, 3.5 on the road. What say you?
Yeah, I think that they'll cover that spread. I think Miami is turning into a fine team. And like you said, they're fun to watch. It's going to be difficult for Denver to deal with that offense. So, I take them covering the points. Denver's going to lose this one.
I concur. Here's your fun in the AFC East before we get to Isaac Lohengrin. Buffalo at 7-3 right now. A win puts Miami there. Sitting right now, the Dolphins have allowed 83 fewer points than the Buffalo Bills. And remember what we talked about the Buffalo defense all that time ago. Good times. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. We got two more games to finish up this slate for week 11. But first, we turn over to Isaac Lohengrin at Isaac Lohengrin on Twitter. He's got what's trending.
You got it, Michael and LeVar, and we'll start with some painful news courtesy of Ed Werder, who reported that Saints quarterback Drew Brees has been found to have a total of 11 broken ribs. That's more than double the total found from testing done last Monday. Brees told Werder that, doctors have been encouraged by his improvement in lung function after it was punctured during the first half of last Sunday's win over the 49ers. Other than that, everything's great. Brees was placed on injured reserve on Friday, so that means Taysom Hill will be starting at quarterback today for the 7-2 Saints against the 3-6 Atlanta Falcons at the Superdome. In college football on Saturday, 13th-ranked Georgia defeated Mississippi State 31-24 as Georgia quarterback JT Daniels completed 28 of 38 for 401 with four touchdown passes. 18th-ranked Oklahoma over number 14 Oklahoma State 41-13. Sooner QB Spencer Rattler 17 of 24 for 301 with four touchdown passes. And Michigan in a triple overtime thriller prevailed at Rutgers 48-42. That does it for college football. On to NBA. Hang on, guys. I'm sorry. Oh. Something's going on with my computer right now. I apologize for the.
It's over and the Wildcats win. Oh. The Wildcats beat the Badgers to stay undefeated. 17-7. The Wildcats beat the Badgers.
I get all emotional when I hear the voice of Dave Ennett.
On WGN.
It just does it for me all the time.
Look, Harmon, I understand you're a proud Northwestern alum, but hacking the computer of a coworker to play a highlight of Northwestern winning?
Oh, my goodness.
Saying,
Mike, come on, bro. You're
it had to happen. Look, I had five others that I was trying to get loaded in, and I got blocked. That was the one that got through. And I'm not better than this. They're going to be in the top 10 after this win over the Badgers. Well, so let's go.
Fair. I see the Fox Sports Radio IT department is doing its usual bang-up job. 17-7, the final score is the Wildcats.
Wow, look at you.
Improved to 5-0. In the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski reporting free agent big man Serge Ibaka signs a two-year, $19 million deal with the Los Angeles Clippers. And Kentavious Caldwell-Pope agreed to a three-year, $40 million deal to return to the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. So, quite a story, quite an amount of progress. I remember when Kentavious Caldwell-Pope came into the league, first of all, I had to assure listeners that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was all the same guy. It was not three different guys. But now we all know Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Back to you.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You know, he's the architect of this team. He was the first guy there. If they'd let him go, that would have been just silly.
Oh, right? and we knew it from the very beginning. We knew what that meant when he first signed pre-LeBron, indeed.
That's what I'm going to – this is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I just want to give him some credit in all of this, that it was a, come on in, the water's fine kind of moment. And then LeBron followed. Magic tried to take some credit, and it's really all LeBron James decision-making. But you know what? KCP gets paid, was curious if he was going to take a bigger deal elsewhere. Instead, look, Clutch West continues. Thanks, Ilo. At Isaac Lohenkron is where you find him on Twitter. All right, we got two games to get through, LeVar. You ready? Take a deep breath. This is a good one.
Run it out. Let's go all day.
Rams and Buccaneers.
Now we're talking Buccaneers. 4-point favorites, 48.5 is your line in this one. Going into the quick stats, teams are ranked second and third in sacks this year behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. So opportunity presents itself. You look at the Rams, what they've been able to do defensively. We know about Aaron Donald. Jalen Ramsey filling the hype and then some as we go with. But both offenses have had their moments of where we have the big question marks over our head, LeVar. With Tampa, you've got a couple of games that stand out with them against the Bears. And the Bears have a very good defense. And obviously New Orleans owning them. One. Right?
The second one was worse because the first one, you could get over it. You can move on from it. Oh, they're improving. Oh, time
has
moved on.
Right?
It was the first game, but then they came back and treated them worse the second time around.
Yeah, I was just plain disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, who you think?
I'm taking the Bucs winning.
Oh,
at
wow.
home. I think it stays close, though, McVay and company. That offense, I want some explosiveness, LeVar. That's what I keep waiting on. And I say it every week. And then they go and
Rams,
win.
The Rams have found a way to win the way that they win. And that's how I'm going to leave it. And I'm looking at the Rams as going into Tampa Bay and winning this game.
I love it. Running the ball, they've been very effective, right, with a Swiss Army knife style. Multiple guys getting after. Tampa giving up just 76.6 yards per game on the ground. Conversely, you know, Ronald Jones isn't running for 98-yard touchdowns. Again, they're going to need more from he and Leonard Fournette in a more protracted ground game. Jared Goff just still remains a wild card for me. I don't love him. Wow. I don't hate him. Like, just there's games where I'm like, all right, what do I have from this passing game?
Yeah, I just think with Jared Goff, he's having a much better season than he did last year. And maybe it's not as high on the list of, you know, franchise great quarterbacks playing in the league right now, but it's sufficient. And I think that that's the thing. I think if they were able to get a little bit more out of him, this team actually may find themselves back in that Super Bowl contention type of mode. But as it stands right now, he's still playing well enough for them to be a contender. I just don't know if it's Super Bowl contender.
Well, that's the beauty of the NFC, as we've talked about all morning, LeVar. There's just a knot of uncertainty. I'll take Tampa to win, but I think the Rams keep it close, and they're within that four number. I think it's a field goal game. All right, we got one last one. could be pretty fast, which is why it's last. Next. It's the Jets.
Throw them out. Let's go all day.
Jets and Chargers.
I gave a false start. That is my fault. I called out the signal. I got myself on my own hard count with the point that I gave to Chris.
It's okay.
5 yards.
It's one of those type of games, though. It's okay. It was okay to pump fake it. You know why? Because it's the Jets.
And the Chargers. Well, because I said the word next, which is in our business, as you know, LeVar, a trigger word. Wait, yes. That means
I've got to know.
So where am I going? Exactly.
I thought we were going to a break, but let's stay with it.
Well,
I figured it
was a Minute Man kind of game.
Okay, yeah, okay. This one won't take too long at all.
Well, because I'm actually picking the upset. I'll take the Jets +9. Charger, yeah, but that's the thing. The Chargers are favored by 9.
Are they?
With this defense. I have no idea how that happens. Joe Flacco showed at least that.
Joe Flacco.
He gave the offense a pulse.
Get wacko for Flacco.
I'm not going to go that far, and nor is he elite. But for one night, I mean, you saw the narrow escape.
Flacco won a Super Bowl.
He did. One of the great moments of betting on yourself in sports history, I'll have you know.
How about it?
All the money he made to be a mediocre quarterback after that Super Bowl run. I can't fault a guy for a good strategy. Anyway, I'm taking them +9.
Half a point.
That's somehow the first half point ever. Is given
because it's only a Jets by half a point today.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's the Jets, they're going to win this game and they're going to figure out how to screw up getting the number one overall pick. That's what I'm predicting here. That the Chargers somehow choke this one away.
I'm joking.
You're taking the Chargers.
The Chargers are finally going to get that elusive victory that they always let get away.
Are they covering the 9 though?
But they're not covering the 9.
There you go. Jets +9. We could do a full roast of this game. No question. Love Justin Herbert.
Chargers,
some of those receivers and what's going on. Kalen Ballage should have a day on the other side. LaMichael Pirine. See the second Pirine that we get into the show. You like that? Because now we got Pirine and Pirine pork rinds like you talked about before.
I love it.
Because if we have two guys in there, it makes it sound more robust.
Yeah.
Nicely done. All right, coming up next, we've got the Mammals of the Week. We got our Fantasy Ninjas as we come to you from the Geico Studios. Hang on tight. We're taking you home next.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. Finishing up here. Fox Sports Radio.
Come on.
It is a big Fox Football Sunday, week 11 of your National Football League. It has been our pleasure to break down all the games, the good, the bad, the ugly, with you. Mike Harmon alongside LaVar Arrington.
What up?
He's getting hype. He's dancing in the bathrobe. Family.
All mammals.
He's been cooking breakfast all day long.
It's all mammal time.
But it's time to find the all mammals of week 11. Let's go.
Gordon Hayward, number one, 27.1 million. All mammal, bi-ha-ha.
My guy, that was the greatest all mammal of all time. He got paid.
He got paid.
Look, I need
he got the mammal dollars.
Yeah, I got to give one injury note for folks. Just we touched on it briefly, and he was going to be a game time decision. Marshawn Lattimore has now been declared out for New Orleans Atlanta game. So Patrick Robinson, good luck. He's going to have to go and try to guard Julio Jones.
Julio, good luck with trying to guard Julio.
That's it. All right, let's get it. What do we got?
Alvin Kamara, man, against the Falcons. He will be an all-mammal recipient today. He will get it done. So if you're thinking you need somebody who's going to go all-mammal all the time for your all-mammal points, take Alvin Kamara.
Nice.
Another one to think about. Big Ben. Big Ben Roethlisberger. Big Ben. They're going against the Jags. And the Jags actually have a decent, pretty defense. And this will be a defensive heavy game, but Big Ben is going to give you your stats. He's going to give you your touchdowns. He's going to give you your yards. Put him in. If you got him, use him. That's an all mammal this week. And I've been telling y'all, I wasn't on the train. I didn't want to trust it, but he keeps proving me wrong, and I didn't want to do it to him, but I got to do it this week. Dalvin Cook, I'm going with Mr. Dalvin. Take him against the Cowboys. He should have a big, big, big game today. A big deal. And, yeah, he might give you some really, really good fantasy points if you take him. Them and my old mammals. Mammal gang, mammal gang, mammal gang.
Newest members of the Mammal Gang for Week 11. For me, going to the Fantasy Ninjas, you can listen to the I Want Your Flex podcast off Apple Podcasts. Get the questions in at I Want Your Flex or at Swollen Dome. I'll answer sit starts coming up here in about 8 minutes from now. Let's start with the first, your sleeper, your Fantasy Ninja play of the day presented by Geico. I am looking at Salvon Ahmed, your running back of your Miami Dolphins, 85 yards last week. Denver has already given up over 1,200 total yards and 8 touchdowns to opposing running backs. Here he is, off the waiver wire and straight to your heart and starting lineups. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and your car insurance, and it's a good thing, too, because having a home's hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. Geico.com, it's easy. You know, I'm still getting a little bit cute. We talked about it. Taysom Hill is the starter. I'm still looking at Jameis Winston going, maybe, in a 2QB league, going up against Atlanta, that you might find yourself with a little bit of love. Jacoby Myers, look, I'm part of the man crush family here. Going up against Houston, like the number of targets he's been seeing. And finally, got to give a little bit of love to Michael Pittman going up against Green Bay. Look, the waiver, the bye weeks don't crush you too much, right? Because we're talking about Buffalo, Chicago, the Giants, and the 49ers. Not a lot of guys that you were starting for the fantasy purposes. You had Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Allen Robinson are really the three out of those teams that would be lockstep in your starting lineups. So you're not missing a bunch that you have to plug in. But for all the other injury notes, keep it locked. Fox has you covered. Schrager and Glazer over the next 2 hours with all the sit starts. LeVar, the matchup that you're looking most forward to this weekend is?
Ooh.
Is it Monday Night Football?
No.
No?
I want to see this Las Vegas game. I want to see Las Vegas versus Kansas City. I want to see how this pans out.
Victory laps and all of the different scenarios mixed therein at Allegiant Stadium. That's the Sunday night football game. For me, I am looking at Tennessee and Baltimore. One of those teams has to forge an identity today.
I could dig it.
It's going to be fun. At LeVar Arrington, at King of the Mammals, where you find him. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Go have a successful Week 11. Kick some butt. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.